Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 35. Today's message is Hero at the Cross. Thanks for joining me. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can subscribe to the podcast at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you will find the show notes. Now, today's episode is about the hero at the cross. On the show notes, just to let you know, I'm doing something a little bit different. I'm taking some different people who are involved about the cross, and Simon of Cyrene is one of the heroes of the cross. He is not... Pastor Paul does not speak about him in this message, so I just didn't want to confuse you. So when you go to the show notes, you're going to see a little bit about Simon of Cyrene, and that is, I am just putting that on the show notes, but that doesn't have to do with the hero that Pastor Paul is talking about. It's good to have you here. No music today, so you're going to have to go to the Critics of the Cross if you want to hear that song, Summertime Blues by Blue Cheer, which is a really great song. Today's message is longer, so I'm going to try to be a little bit brief in the intro here so we can get right on with the message. And I just want to say Happy Palm Sunday. For those of you who celebrate Palm Sunday, it's one of my favorite Sundays. It's the Sunday that represents when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and this was during the week of Passover, and he was welcomed by all of the people who he had seen and helped and healed throughout his ministry, and it's fantastic. He comes in, and he's riding on a donkey, I think a foal of a donkey, and people are laying palm branches down. Quite a scene that was. So that was a great, great day for people in Jerusalem. So that's what we're celebrating today, is Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. So also, you can visit Pastor Paul's website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. And I would love you to join our Twitter group. I love Twitter. I've been Twittering for a while. And I'll put a little, I found a Twitter. Actually, I visited a blog who had a fantastic video about Twitter, tells you a little bit about it. So I'm going to definitely be putting the Twitter video on one of our blogs in the future. Right now, you can also check out the blog. The blog is, again, it's www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and I post the show notes at the blog, and then we do the podcast on the weekend. Now, we're doing two this this month, because it's Easter. We're doing one on Friday, one on Sunday. And normally I've been doing one. Oh, we're all over the place. We did a marathon. We didn't do any. Now we're doing Faces About the Cross. So we're doing like Fridays and Sundays. So who knows what we'll be doing. We'll just let the Lord lead. But go to the blog anyways. I did in February, I did a lot of blogging, thinking, blogging about shop.org. I'm finishing up. We're going to put a couple more blogs about shop.org and finish it up this month. Believe it or not, shop.org, this is so funny. Shop.org, I was going to do like a 1 week session on shop.org, and I'm telling you, it's like a 2 month thing. It's like a 2 month marathon. So you can check those out. I've just been having fun doing that. But anyways, I don't want to ramble here. So check it out. Check the blog out. And next week, we're going to do two podcasts. And The Great Outlaw at the Cross is one of them. And The Outlaw at the Cross is the other. So that is for next weekend. And it is Easter weekend, but we're still going to be doing The Outlaws at the Cross. And then we have two more Faces About the Cross the following week, and one more after, which is going to be an Easter podcast as well. So you can always call the comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. Give us a call. Any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can put in the voicemail, or you can send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. A little bit of a warning, I'm not the best at my email. I would really love for you to call me on the comment line. Email is, I'm just not on top of that at this time. So if you do send me an email, if I don't get back to you immediately, no, don't worry about it. Without further ado, let's get into the message. Hero at the cross. Have a great day, a great week, and come back to see and hear about the outlaws. Bye now.
Today, let me introduce you to a hero at the cross. One of them ran forthwith and, filling a sponge with sour wine, put it on the end of a cane and offered it to him. Offered him a drink, while the rest said, "Stay. Let us see whether Elijah is coming to deliver him." Matthew 27:48-49. This is the scene. A group of soldiers are gathered about the three crosses on the hill. They have completed their day's work because all three victims are nailed to their respective crosses. And now they wait for them to die. Now they sit idly by, trying to pass away the hours the best that they can. And get the scene here in blood-speckled garments. And I thought while I was reading this, aren't we a funny lot? When people cause us any kind of an inconvenience, even when they're dying, we are so uncaring. Now, I've noticed that time and time again when I go to the hospital rooms when there are those that are dying, that sometimes it's almost sort of an irritation if the person just lingers a little bit too long. That's the way it was with Jesus on that hill far away. These soldiers are gathered there waiting for him to die. Put yourself in his place. You're all going to die sooner or later. And remember that people died very slowly on the cross. And I'm sure that these soldiers were genuinely bored. We can get bored with anything in this old world, can't we? They've already gambled for the seamless garment that Jesus wore. So now all that's left is to wait. All at once, Jesus cries out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Still hear it echoing all these hundreds and hundreds of years later. And Jesus spoke in a language that they didn't understand. And yet they knew it was a cry of distress. But I want you to remember as we go here that not only was Jesus on the cross, they had beaten him prior to being put on the cross with a cat of nine tails. They had jammed a crown down upon his head. They had plucked the beard from his face. And so besides in suffering the cross, flies and gnats and stinging gnats and mosquitoes probably were attacking. Dried blood closed his eyelids so he could just barely see out through the tears and the pain and the agony. And his lips were bloody and swollen and torn and hanging. But anyway, they thought as they watched, sounds like he's calling Elijah, because they didn't know what language he was speaking. Even though that they didn't understand, they knew it was a cry of agony and, oh my God, cry. Have you ever cried that cry? People in foxholes cry that cry. People who are about ready to die cry that cry. So now let me say this, that they all heard the cry. They all had a partial understanding of the cry. But there was one difference. Maybe you'll fit into that even while you listen to this message, you listening to this radio message or tape. Maybe you'll fit right in there. Maybe you'll fall asleep during this message. I don't know. Maybe sometimes we're so caught up in ourselves, so uncaring. Now, there's one difference here. All did not respond. And so here we have two very distinct groups that we're going to look at. One sought to help, and the others did nothing. So one becomes a part of the remedy while the others remain part of the disease, sort of like the message last week that we had on the critics. I believe that is a cry that still echoes out over the mountains of time. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a lonesome fact. Not only of history, but of calling. And I think every blood-bought man or woman or child of God that is trying to do something can really feel this cry of a calling. But while there is that which is unique in the scene, there is also that which is eternal and abiding. There is this bitter cry of pain, of course. I have to say this, and let me say it. This wail of anguish on the part of Jesus is as old as human suffering and as new as the tragedies of today. And I mean, we're always talking about this cry on a hill, and it's been going on ever since. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean to say that humanity is always being nailed to the cross in some way or another, isn't it? I mean, it is a fact, and I'll say this right now, it is not even open for argument. There is a cry that's gone down through every century of the depressed and repressed and the lonesome and the forsaken. Century after century, we hear this pathetic cry for help. It fits into every day. It fits into every hour. Now, even now, it grows more intense as we face this final darkening hour in history. Be hearing it all the more. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not only does this cry belong to every day, but it makes itself heard by every man. Of course, some have more sensitive ears than others by choice. Some can put it aside. Some can make excuses, but we all choose to hear or not hear it. We all got our little gimmicks. Some are more deeply stirred, is what I'm saying. No matter how we try to stop our ears, we can't completely knock it out. You can't block this out completely. That cry is always there. You hear it over and over and over, but we can block it out. We can try to. Again and again, it interrupts our complacency, our boredom. Oh my God, how many people are just bored to death with just plain living? And even as I speak on the radio, you'll hear people or tape messages, they'll even get irritated by you even mentioning that very, very fact. That this cry for help worldwide interrupts our complacency, our boredom, our love of ease, our indifference. It disturbs us. Disturbs us to turn on the TV and see people suffering around the world. Thus disturbed, we make our varied responses, even as those soldiers long ago. We hear this call of need whether we will it or not. And it's not a matter of choice. It's not optional. Did I hear someone yell, "I'm hungry," or it must be my ears deceiving me? No. Did I hear someone yell, "I'm lonesome"? Oh, it's my ears. They must be deceiving me. No. Did I hear someone say, "Give"? Oh, that's got to be my ears deceiving me. But see, the one thing that is optional, after all, is what we do about it. What we choose to hear. What we choose to or not choose to hear. Who we choose to hear. What we choose to hear. And when we decide to hear. And so there are two things in this scene that abide. There is that cry of an anguished need, and those who are compelled to hear that cry and to make some kind of a response. So it was on Calvary, so it is today. Let me say that again. So it was on Calvary, so it is today. We're so busy looking back when we should look ahead. Let's look at these groups. Some of these soldiers said, "Stay, let us see." How harmless that sounds. Wait and see. They didn't tell Jesus, "Shut up." They didn't add to his anguish by personal violence and start throwing things at him and stones and spitting at him on the cross. No, they didn't do that. They didn't say, "No way will we ever help you." They simply said, "We are not going to do anything right now." Boy, I've heard that a lot in the mission here. Well, we'll wait and see. We can't make any kind of rash decisions right now. And they answered, I'd have to say, in very familiar words with all of us, "Stay, let us see if Elijah will come to save him." We say that every time we turn someone down. Of course, they could have given some reason for their conduct, like we often do. "Why don't you do something?" I asked one of them desperately. His answer was very simple, and he had three good reasons. "Well, first of all, my name isn't Elijah. Didn't you hear what he said? My name isn't Elijah. He wasn't calling for me for help. He was calling on a guy called Elijah. So see, it's none of my business. Wasn't even calling my name. I didn't hear nothing. Bible says to know to do good and do it not is sin. When we know, when the opportunity avails itself, when we know then there is a chance to do good and we turn it down for any reason, it is flat out sin. Flat out. When we have it within our power, and I don't care if there's just a little bit you can do. You listening to this tape or radio all the way from the government on down to the bum in the gutter. You can do some good, you better get out there and do it. You can put your name on it, in fact. It's God calling you, but everybody thinks God is calling someone else. Oh, you didn't say my name. Yet we go from generation to generation making the same lame excuses as this soldier. No, I saw the need, we confess, but it was none of my business. Oh, God. We're so good at minding our own business, aren't we? No, I was just minding my own business. Some people, they must have a lot of business. They're always minding it. What is your business? I would like to ask some of these people. Is it while you're sitting there doing the couch potato? They should have a song, doing the couch potato. Huh? Even dogs now, they get up on the couch. They learn from their master, and cats and birds and everything. They sit right on the couch, right alongside their master. They learn from their master how to do the couch potato. Doing the couch potato. Hasn't I got a good... Don, tell Sue to make a song, doing the couch potato. You get up sort of like they used to do that, da, 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 doing the couch potato. Only you're sitting on the couch doing it. Or are you doing that terrible, urgent thing, minding your own business? That's urgent, isn't it? Isn't that urgent to take care of our own business all the time, first and foremost and forever and always? That's why people are so miserable, don't you know? They're so busy taking care of their own business. Bored right out of their minds. Yes, I saw a man shooting from the IDS. It was early in the morning. And is it my fault he killed 20 people? I'm no cop. I would have thought after a couple hours he would have woke someone up that would really do something. What's the world coming to anyway? Yes, I saw that your house was on fire and your child was screaming out the window, help me, but I'm no fireman. Yes, I know that people are hungry and homeless and jobless and parentless, but I give to the United Way. That's why I donate to them. They do it all. Better check that one out. Come on, let's get dangerous here. Huh? Why not? You only live once. It's time someone got good and dangerous with a situation that's out of control. People yelling from cross situations all across the land, worldwide. No one is responding. I'm talking to you out there, and I'm talking to everyone. Not the person next door, not the next church, not the next country, you. Yes, I saw that man get hit by a car. He must have got knocked 50 feet up into the air, but hey, I was late for lunch. I got important things to do. I'm on a strict diet, and I have to have my lunch, or I just get the shakes and the quivers, and it's bad for me. I could have a heart attack. Well, you won't have a heart attack rushing to help anybody, let me tell you that. And so I did nothing. I could get sued, or I could have wrecked my car trying to follow this fellow and get his license plate number. So you see, when you have it in you to meet that need, folks, and when you can help in any way, shape, or form, God is calling you. By your name. My sheep know my name. I will call them my sheep. I know by their name. I'll call them by their name, the Bible says. He is calling us, not the government. We are the government. He is calling us. Situations in people's lives worldwide are calling us. But says this soldier, I have another reason for not helping. Well, let's hear it, I says. Well, I heard the cry, and I knew that the need was desperate, but you know, I have enough faith in my friends, enough confidence in my friends to believe someone would respond. So I waited in hope that some Elijah or some whoever would take this cry seriously, you know. I mean, and I, in all sincerity, I wanted this job done. You bet. I wanted the job done. But you know, I thought if I waited long enough, someone else would do it. Then I wouldn't have to be bothered because I got a whole lot of things I got to do. I'm so busy. I mean, my business and minding my own business keeps me so busy. And so we can say all across this country, if you get this tape, I knew people needed to be fed. And I'm talking to everybody. I knew that people were freezing in the streets, and I knew her lights were shut off, but I thought if I fumbled along in my pockets long enough and just sort of, you know, move from pocket to pocket, someone else would outdraw me. Someone else would pay the bill and I would be that much ahead. And so you see, I never ask. How much can I do, but only with how little can I get by? And after all, God expects me to be a good steward. God expects me to ask a few questions. I see that you're drowning, sir, and I have this tube to throw out, but how did you get into that situation? Oh, you're going down the third time. Hurry up and answer. And I am very liberal, by the way, with myself. Isn't it funny when they talk about liberals in government situations? That they forget to add that everybody's liberal with themselves. Now, we're all liberal with ourselves when we eat. Aren't we? Now, I know there will be a whole lot of people don't like this message because they don't like to be challenged. They don't like anybody to disturb their couch potato in. They like to just sit down and let's do the couch potato. I know it'll irritate people when they get this tape, and glory to God, I hope it irritates them off of their big fat duffs doing the couch potato. Huh? Da 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 da, boo. Huh? It's time we got irritated. It's time we heard the cry. Are you hearing this? Whew. Huh? Now, I think there's another reason I can give you, sir. The soldier says, "Well, I say, let me repeat myself. You heard the cry, why didn't you help?" "Well, I wanted to," he says. "But then again, the situation seems so hopeless. I mean, I could do so little. I was caught in between. He was so far gone, he'd be better off dead." How many times do we see people and we think, man, them people would be better off dead? Well, living around some of us, they would be better off dead. "Well, I would have if I could have, but I can't, and probably I would have only prolonged his agony. So I did nothing." Sometimes situations in our lives seem hopeless, don't they? Sometimes situation in missions seems very hopeless. But unless we continue on in an effort, the only hopeless thing is you and me. We become hopeless cases when we give up hope when it doesn't look like everything is going to come in a landslide our way. We give up and we don't try. Yeah, we got to do what we can with what we got. But then there was one of those soldiers that was a little more positive than those that said, "Stay, let's wait." While the others tried the wet blanket, his enthusiasm, he ran, got a sponge, the Bible says, dipped it in wine and offered to Jesus a drink. He didn't know exactly what the dying man was asking, but he did know that he must be thirsty by now. Oh, you must. In our own thing, you must be thirsty by now. You must be hungry by now. You must need money. All your furniture is in the street. You must need help. I have to wait for people to say something all the time. "Why didn't you say something?" "I didn't know." And the situation is all over like that. And we all use the same damnable excuse. "I didn't know." "Why didn't you say something? Golly, wow, gee." Then anyway, he goes on, "I might not be Elijah, but I know a thirsty man when I see one, and I know a dying man when I see one." He needs help, and he needs help right now. Deal me out on his hand, fellas. Deal me out. And by the way, put them dice away. They're not for me anymore. I've got more important things to do. "I guess Elijah got held up," he says. "So it's up to me to take his place. That's somebody else that might have come. Maybe we're to take their place. Maybe we're," the Bible says, "to occupy until he comes." Occupy sitting down doing the couch potato? Occupy arguing who's doing the more? Occupy, and I hope you just get so irritated listening to this tape, I'm going to send it to every non-functional person I know. Probably pump some life into them. "But I guess Elijah got held up, and I'll take his place. I guess I'll have to do until something better comes along." How encouraging it is when we meet those who take upon themselves to perform deeds that no one else has a right to ask them to do. They just do it because it looks like a good thing to do at the time. They take that burden upon themselves and say, "I'm going to do it." And we don't even expect them to because it's too great of a task. See, it's when we take on our burdens voluntarily, for love's sake, that we come to live in the spirit of the cross. When we die, that others might have life. When we bleed that others might be healed. When we suffer that others might have joy. When we respond to the call and we give our lives, we gain our lives. When we give up the burden of minding our own business and fighting and back and forth and racial riots and fighting with one another, and we give all that up and say, hey, here's a cause for humanity. Shut up with all these different things and let's meet the need at hand and let's stop being manipulated. Oh, how we waste time. Bickering and fighting and carrying on when each one of us has a job to do right across the street. How we love to watch TV and just look what they're doing. And what are we doing? To learn to take on these burdens voluntarily, to take on that bearing a cross for others' life that Jesus did, that we start to have any kind of freedom, that we start to really appreciate what Christianity is all about, and we just lay it all out there. Hey, I am a selfish wimp. Now, I know that this soldier knew it would be impossible to restore Jesus back to total health. I don't care how long he claimed it. But he did what he could. Are you doing what you can? We don't know his name, but I think he's worth knowing, don't you? I think we don't know his name because his name is everybody that does the same thing he did all the way down through all of the centuries. Then why must we examine all the facts before that we move? Why all the red tape? Why not go to the root of the problem? Now let's look at the other men here. On the other hand, does it matter that we respond, they ask? Oh yes, I say it does. Let's take a look at you who said last, stay, let us see. What did they miss anyway? Well, they missed the privilege of helping. To help in the cause of Jesus Christ is not a great, big, fat, stinking duty. It is a privilege. God allows you to help. Isn't that wonderful? Stop booing. I hear you on the radio booing and couch potato and getting fidgety like you got ants in your pants. May they bite your seat right off. You won't be able to couch potato anymore. Yeah, it matters that you respond. Some people don't even respond when you talk to them. And there'll be people that won't respond to an urgent message just like this. They will not respond. They'll put it off. Well, you know, they might have been a help to Jesus in his very hour of extremity. This very extreme hour in his life. What a beautiful situation there to meet a need in that very extreme hour of pain and agony. And you know, while they did nothing, Jesus died. They lost. People are dying all over and we lose our opportunities. Because we're complacent and we're bored and we got things to do. We got our own business to mind and we're so afraid of the coming situation. Don't be afraid. World's going to hell. Exactly what's happening. The end is right around the corner. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow or next week or 2 weeks from today. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's very close. Very, very close. We're going to miss our privileges of helping. aren't we? Isn't something like this always happening when we refuse to help? Someone dies. Someone loses hope. What a terrible thing to lose hope. When someone gives up, when someone commits suicide. Do you remember in the Bible that certain rich man? Jesus told about who had a banquet every day. Doesn't say that he was a cruel man. He even fed a beggar, it says, crumbs from his table. How nice. But see, he went no further, so given only the crumbs, the man died. So many times, we're busy giving people crumbs and they die. Crumbs of help, crumbs of love, crumbs of compassion, crumbs of a helping hand, crumbs of counseling, crumbs of food, crumbs of caring. I think we're a pretty crummy group sometimes. You look at the body of Christ nationwide and as a whole, we're a pretty crummy lot. When we have it within our power to meet those needs and we don't meet those needs, when we're busy marching round and round, judging everybody, instead of giving people alternatives to a better way, when we point the finger and say, if you do this or that or so on, you're going to surely go to hell. The very thing that you wish on someone else will be yours. That's what the Bible says. The very time that you point your finger and say, this is not the way to go, and I'm not going to go that way, and why are you that way, and you don't leave any kind of alternative for a person after they leave that way, you're guilty of the very same thing. They are even more guilty. It says the horrors will make it to heaven before you do, religious leaders and legalists of this age, when we need a loving ministry and we've got a non-caring body of Christ worldwide. Stinks. Are you hearing this? No, he never went out to meet this beggar. He didn't care. Give him some crumbs. And we never go out to meet the people that we give care packages to. A care package. How much do you care? People can't even read that on there. USA. We care. We don't even speak their languages. We just send the packages over there. How cold. How inhuman that is. How unchristian that really is when we don't care enough, when we give away our crumbs to go along, say here, to pass it out, to do some work, to stir the food that's in the cans. No, he never went out to see this same beggar. But then again, we all must die. Everyone listening to this tape, to this radio message, every one of you has got to die. Or do you think that you're going to live forever? Oh my, time's a wasting out there. The Bible says the rich man died also. That's what the Bible tells us. See, I thought as I was reading this that crumbs have a way of killing him that gives as well as him that receives. See, by the soldiers refusing to do what they knew they should do, they refused to live. What do you suppose that I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly really means? It means everything that goes along with life, folks. The ups and the downs. And if you for one minute think that if you have everything, you're going to be happy. Forget it. The only way you're going to be happy is if you receive life the way it comes to you every day, life abundant with abundant trials and sorrows and joys and ups and downs and the whole works. That's the only way you're going to be happy, when you receive the life. And God says, I'll give it to you, abundant life. Oh, I hope you listening to this tape hear what I'm saying. Abundant life is receiving and giving. Are you hearing this? Bible says we must give our lives to gain them. What gain, again, it says in the Bible, does a man if he has all of these things and loses his soul? I just sort of, sometimes when we're Christians, we get sort of soul hungry. The Bible says, I wish above all, and this is a prosperity teaching probably you've never heard before, that you be in good health and that your soul would prosper. That's real prosperity. And when your soul prospers, it means that you have something that you fed your soul with, and your soul is satisfied and doing the will of God, and it reaches down into your spiritus, and you feel that anointing coming on when you help others, when you reach out. God, that we would be like the honeybee. It goes out there and pollinates everything else and keeps it alive. Yeah, they refuse to live. And so many people are refusing to live right now because they're so caught up in the natural, mundane things of this world, the boring, asinine things of this world. They're just too busy minding their own business, smoking their own dope, drinking their own booze. Or even if they don't do that, drinking their own coffee, gossiping across the fence, causing problems. Now let me talk to these people that have all and give none. Not even the people that have a quarter and squeeze it until the, I forget even who was on a quarter, a nickel. Until a buffalo grunts. You can't blame it all on everybody else. What are you doing? Maybe you'll inspire the millionaire when you give your last mite. That's mighty good, ain't it? I mean, how happy can a miser be? I remember, I see these folks and this $10 million, here comes Johnny, huh? And you hear them, well, you know, what's going to change in your life? Oh, nothing. I'm going right back to my job. I'm going to do the same thing I've always done. Feel like calling them up and say, give me that money. And your life is going to be exactly the same? Huh? Oh, maybe it'll be the same, but you'll be bored in a bigger way. Because even when you had a quarter, you were bored because you just took care of yourself. Now you got $10 million, and now you got $10 million to bore yourself with all the more because you don't want to share with anybody. Is that what you mean, sir? That your life isn't going to change? You're going to be the same stinker you always were? God, people were praying for change for you. Now you got 10 million ways of doing it. Why don't you change your life? Why don't you be sort of a sport? My dad used to always tell me, he says, Paul, I don't care how much money you got. You know what I'm talking about? When you got a little bit of money, be a sport. Don't be fumbling around the pockets all the time. There's the tight wads over here that fumble around, probably got holes in their pockets. Don't be like that. Don't go to the toilet. You pay the bill. Don't go run. Oh, you paid the bill already. You paid the bill. You be a sport. Don't be like a tight wads. They're no good. They never do nothing for nobody. Don't be like that. You give, and you'll be happy. Well, you want to be happy? Don't worry, be happy. Well, don't worry about yourself is what it's saying. Don't worry about yourself. Be happy. That's what that should be on that t-shirt. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about yourself. Doesn't the music say that? Forget about yourself, concentrate on me, and worship me. How do you worship God? By a pious little cupid doll lips. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We praise you. Huh? God, how would you like to have kids like that? I know I've done this before. I'll do it again. We praise you, Mommy and Daddy. We praise you. We praise you. We love you. If you love me, you obey me, God says. But we love you, Mommy and Daddy. Will you go in and clean your room? Will you stop fighting? Will you stop taking drugs? Will you do your homework? Will you obey me? Don't stand there saying, I love you. Just do as I say. Stop worrying about yourself, and you'll be happy. Dig into your pockets and pay the bill. Had a friend years ago, and he'd always excuse himself whenever the bill came when we went, and I had it ingrained in me to pay it anyway. He didn't have to run to the tutty. He'd always say, oh, excuse me, I'll be right back. Don't you dare pay that bill. Sometimes he didn't even say that after he'd gone a dozen or times or more. One time after I paid the bill, I jumped in the car as fast as I could and I left him there. Some people can take it, but they can't give it up. Yeah, the unknown soldier couldn't bring Jesus back. But he had it in his heart. You remember David in the temple? And he had got everything ready for it. He got all the wood and all the gold and all the silver and all the fine silks and all the stone is cut and everything was ready to go. All the coffers were full and so on like that, enough to build the temple. And God says, wait a minute, I can't allow you to do it because you've done too much wrong. But let me say something to you, David. In that you had it in your heart to do it, and in that you had it in your heart to do good, you're going to get the credit for it even though you didn't do it. See, God judges you by your heart what you would do. And don't use that for an excuse. Well, I would, like David, I would. No, Dave did a lot. He was a statesman and a poet, the verse writer, and a wonderful king, and a wonderful warrior, and a wonderful leader, and a wonderful man of God. And he made his mistakes. But in it, he had it in his heart. God says, I'm going to give you the credit for it. There has to be some kind of a background in your life so God knows that you're a real person. Hey, some of us don't have any kind of a background, no kind of a track record. Doesn't have anything to do with your past sin life, or even for that matter, your present sin life. It's what's in your heart and your track record of what have you done so far. See, it's not what a man does, but what a man would do that exalts him. I'm talking about if he has sort of a background in his life to prove that statement. I think we should do the best then with what we can, what we have. Oh my God, how I want, ever so want, to hear Jesus say when I get there, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. Don't you? Let me say something closing this message. The answer to the cry from the cross situations that are around about us. And I'm talking about in one another's lives, even though you don't know that person. Is don't flee from crisis situations, but flee to them. Respond to the call. Go to the call like the fire department. When someone says, where's the fire? You say, it's right that way. I'm responding to a call for help, like a fireman. That's where the fire is. This person's hungry over there. That's where I'm going. There's a need to be met over there. That's where I'm going. Don't use your religion, or should I say politics, to excuse you or give you a way to escape. Don't dodge the issues. I think if we feel the problems of others right now, and we deal with them, and we face them right now, it'll make us more positive, outgoing, creative persons, afraid of nothing. We'll face life's abundant life that Jesus gives us with great zeal. We'll just take it as it comes. The good and the bad and all the in-betweens. When we find out what our little efforts can do in a very big situation, when we attack that giant of a situation, when we take that slingshot of faith and we attack that giant of indifference and all that giant of suffering, when and the terrible things that are going on and the drugs and the so on that are destroying. And those drugs are not going to be solved outside of here by police and militiamen or nothing. It starts right here on the north side. It starts down there in the high rises, by the way, where all them old folks are afraid to come out. They unite and they come on downstairs with their umbrellas and say, hey, go ahead and shoot us if you will, sons and daughters, but we own this north side and we're going to put a stop to it ourselves. It's our problem. Yeah, and some may even die along the way. Some may have to take the cross along the way. It is our problem. It's not Noriega. It's not all the money that's laundered, because God knows everybody launders money. It's not only with drugs, it's with everything. That's why we got Japan, so we can take the money over there, launder it, and bring it back here. And that's the way the world is. That's a fact. You've got to accept it. That's the way that is. You can't change that. And don't get onto all these issues. The main issue is that we have a job to do as an individual, and we can attack that huge, great giant of a problem. And you know what it'll bring us? Like I said, it will bring us into a more positive, outgoing, creative type of people. Afraid of nothing. We find out that our little efforts can make a dent in that huge problem, can cause that thing to bleed and to fall. You'll gain all the confidence and all the control because you faced the very worst in a situation to begin with. The rest of it is a picnic. Are you hearing this? Yeah, we can lick every problem. I'm talking about a corporate body. Don't wait for the body of Christ. Hey, you're part of the body of Christ. You do it. God knows if you wait for the body of Christ to start missions that would really do some kind of good, you'd never see one coming down. I don't care what kind of church it is. I do not care. It is all the same. It is very, very complacent, uncaring. Not only in missions, but all kinds of things. Jesus said, whoever is free indeed. We need to deal with a self-surrender. That's what we need to deal with. He who loves his life loses it. Why don't you lose yourself? How do you lose your life? By giving it to someone else. Jesus gave his life for you. He lost his life and you gained your life through him, his losing his life. That's what that means. And you can have that same life abundant that Jesus had as you just give your life to someone else for the glory that's before you. How about cashing in on some of those promises? Or are they too far removed? May meet your... You might meet Jesus tonight. You never know. I think if we will surrender this, anything can happen. Didn't Jesus do this? Do you hear the cry? Well, then go on out there and answer it. Don't wait for somebody else to answer. You go on out there. You answer the cry. And I'll tell you what happens when you answer the cry. you gain your life. Some of the most bored people in the world are people that supposedly have it all. But see, when you don't share things, when you don't share love, it's not love. It's the love of self. It's like a dog when he licks your face. It's for himself. Why people go to the psychiatrist couch all the time? Because they're trying to find a way to keep themselves and love themselves and not give up one little bit of their stinking lives, which really isn't much. But you're not giving anything up when you give your life. You're not giving up a single solitary thing. Have you found that out yet? Hey, you listening on the radio, have you found that out yet? Now I know you're mad and you're upset and you're spitting and cussing and everything else. Makes no matter mind to me. I think you've got to preach while you're still alive. God knows I'm getting closer every day. Huh? Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, why not be bold in your ministry? Why not just tell it like it is? The body of Christ right now, as it stands right now, has not done the job. We are the body of Christ. So if we judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. How much better is it for us to judge ourselves right now than to go up into heaven and when the judging comes for countries and leaders and church leaders and denominations and churches, that God would say, well done, disciples ministry. Well done, people. Well done, little mobile temples that have Jesus Christ in them. And not a church built with human hands, but one coming from the heavenlies, that new Jerusalem coming down. And man, it is coming down. And it is so exciting right now. We have an opportunity in this darkening age, just like at the cross is up there, this darkening age right now when there's a cry for help with all these humanity is on the cross right now. And we have an opportunity to be like the soldier that didn't stay like a dog. Stay like a dog. He didn't stay. But he went and did what he could do while there was time was still there. Do you think that he'll go down unremembered? Methinks not. God, all you have to do right now, if you're a believer that doubts, and we all do, is take a look at the situations and Bible prophecy right now, and you're seeing it come to pass right now by the second. How exciting. How exciting that right now ministers and you legal hound dogs up there pointing that long, jagged fingernail out there, whipping that out there and just legalizing there, carrying on and flipping your wigs and everything. Oh, it ain't going to do you no good. People don't want that. They got that at home. They don't need that when they come to church. They aren't going to respond to that. They're going to say, yes, 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 and then go home and say, well, I'm glad I got out of there. Man, it's worse than my mother. But I do think we can challenge one another in love and say, I just say this out of love. We need to get busy. And we need to challenge other people out there. We need to say, hey, I just got to get my mind off myself. I am so miserable. Why are people miserable? Because they're thinking about themselves. You want to get miserable? Think about yourself. Don't ask me to help you. Don't ask me to help you, folks. You just think, you want to get good and miserable, just think about yourself. But you want to get happy? Give that miserable part to God and go on over here and give what the best you can, the best that is within you, to someone else. Not that you'll be perfect and smiling every day. Some days you might say, oh, shut up. But I mean, basically in your heart you want to help people. You have your days when you have your up. How many have ups and downs days? I'm not asking you to be perfect and little cherubs running around with little wings and little things like that. I'm not asking that. Sorry, I'm on a cord here. I can only go so far. Like the leash law. That's about all I have to say here. But hey, it's a challenge. And I want to challenge people outside of here. Make up a bunch of these tapes because I'm going to send them all over. Yep. Everybody that doesn't respond to the call. With a nickel. Isn't it funny? With less funds coming in here every day. We're getting more and more food in here every day. Oh, good. Let's go broke then. We'll have a lot of food. Yeah, see, there are nitwits that think like that too. Do you know that? Great. Well, see, God is able. But God is you. God is in you. Yeah, but I just can't afford it. Huh? You listening out there, you can't afford it. Isn't it funny? We can always afford to go out to eat. Oh, we're so broke. I don't know what we're going to do. Late Bill Gasman. What do you want to eat tonight? Want a steak? Should we go Chinese? How about Italian tonight? Oh, gosh, I don't know. Should we go, let's go Arab tonight. I haven't tried that. Let's go camel out tonight, shall we? Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Well, where should we go? That's all right. But, we forget about God. We forget about giving. We forget all about it. Well, yeah, well, there we, oh, I did it again. I ate the whole thing. Why do I do this? Every time I promise myself I won't do it. You don't mean it, that's why. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him in 30 seconds. And you know, it's going to come just that quick. It says the lightning will go from the east to the west.